and gents, welcome to another episode of Aid Thompson and Other Disappointments. It's Tuesday night at time of recording, but hello to all. What's going on to the mere mortals of Spotify and Apple and regular YouTube, who will no doubt be grabbing this episode on Thursday this week when it re-emerges in final form for the heathens of our Binfluencer cult. It's been a while since I've done the hard sell, isn't it, on this Patreon and community stuff. I suppose now's as good a time as any. I'll try to make it quick. But yeah, if you are enjoying this stuff and you want to get the episodes as and when they happen, you know, you don't want to wait that 2 days. If you like your news and satire topical, then you could sign up for Patreon or YouTube community, which is the same. It's the exact same thing. It's just, it's in YouTube. So some people think it's more convenient. But yeah, if you sign up, it's like £3 a month is like the lowest tier. And then if you go one higher, it's like £5 a month and you start getting more benefits. And also I get more benefits because £5 a month, that means I can actually afford a beer, which I may or may not then drink whilst on the show. And also you get credited on shows like this. I won't go through all of the names right now. I'll do them at the end of the show. But yeah, you get credited, man. You get credited / named and shamed, depending on, you know, who you're bragging to. If you brag to your mates and they are of the nihilistic persuasion, they may be impressed. If you brag to your mum that you paid me £5 a month just so a barely heard about podcast can say your name on it, she might look at you a little bit confused. But yeah, so you get named and shamed. You get access to the Discord chat, guys. I pop in there most days and I say hello. And we share memes and we talk about what's happening in politics that day. Also, when I do the Friday Night Live show, in between doing that and then jumping on Labour Social, there's usually about 20 minutes in between those two live streams. So I usually pop in there for a sort of debrief, you know, live show post-mortem, if you like. And then, yeah, look, if you start going up more tiers, like there's 4 tiers all in all. £3 a month is like you get the shows early. £5 a month, you start getting, you know, Discord, credited, all of that stuff. £10 a month is starting to get a little bit ridiculous, but I'm fully appreciative, super grateful to those who are on the £10 a month tier. You get a Skype call with yours truly. I pop some dates out every month and you can jump on those and we can have a beer. You can ask me about politics, dystopia, news, the podcast, whatever is on your mind. Life, love, the universe, whatevs. And I've met some really cool people, actually. Like, I mean, you sort of, when you acquire a, you know, modest following, we'll say, you know, it's not, I'm not hot shit, but I'm happy with the following that we're building, the family, the community that we're building here. And because of the kind of content I do, it's like, it's very piss-takey, super satirical. And you get this idea that if somebody is sufficiently invested in that kind of content that they're going to pay you £3 a month or £10 a month to get the Skype call, they've probably got a similar sense of humour to you, right? So it's reasonably safe, I think, to assume that people who are on that £10 a month tier who get the Skype call, that they would probably be okay. And they have been. They've been really cool. I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know Mojo Sabian and Yuri and Kai and... oh, Christ, what's the guy's name now? I love saying his name. Peter Del Monte, that's it. Peter Del Monte has got the best name, I think. So yeah, they've been really good. But it's, do you know what? It's really weird, guys. It's kind of strange when you think about it, because when you sit in a certain camp doing politics, when you are a militant piss taker, when you spend your life attacking, mauling political figures who may or may not be beloved by other people who were like me, say, but on the other side, on the right, sometimes I've wondered if I'm setting myself up for some sort of like really awkward Skype call. You know, like somebody's a massive Darren Grimes fan, say, and then they see some of the content that, like, some of the shit that I've said about that guy, like, they take offense to it, and then him and, you know, three other Darren Grimes fans all get together. They're like, "Do you see what that A. Thompson guy said about Darren Grimes? He's bang out of order." You know what we should do? We should sign up to AIDS £10 a month Patreon, and then you get the Skype call with him. And then we could film it. We could film us Skype calling Aid, and we could just, like, call him a cunt for half an hour. But he'd have to adhere to it, because contractually, he's offered us the Skype call. It'd be so... Like, sometimes I think, you know, if I was in their shoes, I'd fucking do that. You know? And I couldn't fault them for it. I'd be like, okay, all right, that's... You know, that's pretty... That's God-tier trolling. It really is. Because honestly, like, if Darren Grimes has a Patreon, I would be... I mean, I am tempted. Now I've thought of that. Now that's popped in my head. I am kind of tempted to sign up for his Patreon. You know, go and meet him at a meet and greet or something. A little lapel mic. Little lapel camera. Just be like, "Hi, Darren. Darren, yeah, it's Aid. Aid, oh, big fan. Yeah, huge. I won't keep you long. I just wanted to ask you one question, really. I'm so embarrassed. I mean, I'm sure everybody asks you this question, and I hate to, you know, add be another one, like the thousandth person that's ever asked you this. But, you know, I just wondered. I promised my girlfriend as well that I would ask you. She's a big fan too, Darren. And anyway, we were just wondering, right, back in the day, when you were a gay fashion student in the liberal enclaves of Brighton University, back in those days, when you made the decision to embark upon this shameless pivot into careerist grifting chancery, you must have been so daunted. It must have been so scary for you. You must have had friends and family, well, maybe just family, Darren, telling you, "No, don't do this, Darren. This is crayon-eating lunacy. You're being ridiculous. You're a moron, Darren. Were you starved of oxygen as a child, Darren?" People must have said that stuff. You must have had doubts. And those doubts must have been emboldened by the reactions you got from your family and tutors and acquaintances when you told them that you were leaving this life as a gay fashion student within the liberal enclaves of Brighton University. You must have wondered if that was the right path for you. But did you ever imagine, Darren? Did you ever dream in your most opulent fantasies that you would ever reach the gaudy heights of being sat opposite me in a Wetherspoons and me just paying £10 once to your Patreon so I could sit here and call you a cunt? I would love to do that. I would. Should we see if has he got a Patreon? I don't know, man. Let's have a look, shall we? Right. So this is his Twitter. It says at Darren Grimes. "Common sense in an age of nonsense." Isn't it? Is that what you think about when you see Darren Grimes? Do you think common sense? Common sense in an age of nonsense. Which is, I mean, that's basically their USP, isn't it? Like, you know, people like, well, it's not a unique selling point if all of them are doing it, right? But, I mean, that's the marketing guff that they all go for is essentially, "I'm speaking sense. This is all common sense that I'm coming out with. Enough with all your Human Rights Act and, you know, this and institutional racism. How about we get back to a bit of common sense?" But really what they mean is they want to get back to about 30 or 40 years ago. That's what they want to... In fact, with him, I don't even believe that he wants to get back to 30 or 40 years ago. I think he is just shamelessly opportunistic and careerist. And I think he sees this shtick, for want of a better word, as his route to commanding the attention and therefore the money from an army of people out there who are confused by change and who do reject things like institutional racism or equal rights legislation or the idea that immigrants could be a net positive for the economy, or, you know, let's just get back to a bit of good old-fashioned common sense is what they all go for. It also says he's a broadcaster at GB News. Is he back on GB News yet? He is already. I know he sort of, he got let go. But then, do you know what? When you leave such gaping holes of intellectual prowess as when Calvin, Dan Wooten, and Lawrence Fox exited that building, I mean, they are some big shoes to fill intellectually. But I mean, if anyone is going to equal the intellectual prowess of Lawrence Fox and Dan Wooten, I mean, guys, I have faith that Darren Grimes could be, he could fit that bill, I reckon. I wonder how he feels, like, if he is back on GB News now, I wonder how he feels knowing that the owner of GB News, Paul Marshall, was exposed by the news agents about 4 or 5 weeks ago now for having liked and shared homophobic content. On, like, because Grimes is gay, right? And he's got this picture up here, conservative firebrand, Darren Grimes. But does it never trouble him, or indeed anyone that is gay on the right? Like, people like Scott Benton, does it never bother them in the slightest that somebody who is running this British Fox News channel that is becoming more and more influential, does it never bother them that this guy is also sharing that kind of content? You know, where does he think this is going to end for him? You know, it's like if Paul Marshall and that sort of, you know, that subsection of the Conservative Party and Reform, and like if all of these guys are on steroids and get to roll out their policies as they wish, untroubled, untempered by Parliament, where does he think, where does Darren Grimes think that ends for him personally? You know, like, oh, we're gonna ship off all of the European immigrants. Oh, well, okay, good. Yeah, because back to Blighty from 1970s. Oh, right, okay. Well, now we're gonna get rid of all of the Africans and the Pakistanis. Well, yeah, okay, good. I mean, I'm on board with that as well. Absolutely, I am. Yeah, because this is back to how things used to be. You know, 1970s, 1960s, and good old Blighty and Benny Hill, Union Jacks. All right, okay. Well, now we're gonna make being gay illegal again. You could be hanged for bumming a guy now, Dan. Well, wait, hang on a second. Hang on. Hey, nobody said anything about this. We tried to warn you, Darren. We tried to warn you. This guy's a rogan. You don't see the tweets he's liking and sharing. Well, I just thought if I gritted my teeth and sucked him off, obviously not at the same time. Like, I just thought if I just gritted my teeth and sucked him off and told him to think about Isabel Oakeshott, you know, he just let me off. You know, they'd all just let me off. They'd just let me, I'd be one of the good ones. You know, I'd be the Uncle Tom of gay conservatives is what I thought. Like if I round up a few young Romanian men, then they might let me fuck a few of them. So, all right. Okay. Let's move on, guys. How do we even get, oh, right. That's right. We were going to look at Darren Grimes's, Patreon. So, oh yeah, here we go. Look, I've got the left foot forward thing about Paul Marshall open. GB News investor Paul Marshall liked and shared far-right Islamophobic, homophobic conspiracy theory posts. You can go and seek that out if you like. Right, let me get back to Darren Grimes. So he's a broadcaster on GB News, and he's the founder of Reasoned UK, sorry. He's got a website here. Should we have a look at his website? Oh, okay. Looks quite swish. If that's not a word that only your nan uses. Oh, I like that, love. Yeah, no, that's good. Oh, it's very swish. Very smart. Very snazzy, aid. Oh, yeah. You've done well with that. Home and about. And then how do we get down to... Is there a contact bit? Get in touch, yes. Learn more. There's an Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, a YouTube, and a TikTok. There's no Patreon. Man, that's disappointing. Like, can somebody get in touch? Like, somebody needs to tell me, how do you book Darren Grimes? Because obviously, if I message him and say, yeah, I really love your stuff, like, he's going to either know who I am by this point, or somebody will tell him, or, like, he'll notice that I'm not followed, or that I'm followed by people that he doesn't like. Or so, you know, it's going to be too... It has to be kind of relatively anonymous. It's got to be, like, through a Patreon that I can set up, like, a separate account, or it's got to be, like, you know, maybe I could set up, like, an alt Twitter or something. But then even then, it would be like, you know, I'd have 5 followers on it. It'd get busted immediately. God, that's really disappointing. I really thought for a second, like, oh, this could be fun. We could really mess with him. Anyway, right, let's get back to it, shall we? We went way off on a tangent there. So, where was I? Oh, I was talking about the Patreon, wasn't I? Like, originally, like, if you love the podcast, this is the longest Patreon intro that we've done so far. What are we at, like, 15, 20 minutes in? like, get to the content, 8. So yeah, look, there's a load of different tiers. Go and check them out. Let's not over-egg this. Let's not drag it out any longer than we need to. What is going on in the news as of Tuesday night when we're recording this? Let's take a wee look. So, actually, rather than talking about, like, what's in the news, which I basically do every day on the pay-per-view, one thing that I wanted to talk about tonight was this guy that I've started watching. His name on YouTube is Gary's Economics, and he just popped up on my feed last week. It was a video called Why Are Taxes So High? And I was hooked in because, like, if you're like me, like, you do wonder about this stuff, right? And I've spoken, like, ad nauseum about how the national debt is colossal. You know, if you've heard more than, like, 2 or 3 of these podcast episodes, you will know that this is a subject I keep kind of close to my heart. You know, national debt, massive. And so, like, all your money, like the tax money, which is supposed to go on, like, public services and all of that seems to actually go on servicing that debt. And so when I saw this video pop up on my YouTube, like, homepage, I suppose, like, for my own ego's sake, I wanted to see if this Gary's Economics guy was saying the same. And I found myself completely sucked in, you know, because, like, so the content's great, right? But also, he's a really interesting guy to listen to. His actual name is Gary Stevenson. And he's interesting, like, for a lot of reasons, right? So first, he sounds proper East London. He sounds like New Cockney is what I sort of refer to it sometimes as. Like, if you didn't know that he was an economist, right? And you listen to him talk about, like, eggs or something, right? You would assume, admittedly through ignorance and prejudging him, you would assume from the way that he's talking that he was a grime artist, you know, a London rapper or something, here to promote his new mixtape. So in a world of finance and bankers and Oxbridge grads and all that, he sticks out like a sore thumb, right? But it's refreshing. It's, you know, it's because he has this background of deprivation that he comes from, like, Ilford in East London. He's got all of that to him. That he's really fucking interesting to listen to now. So there's that. And then there's the subject matter itself, which I find, you know, really stimulating, very engaging, very good delivery. But mostly I thought, like, he's an interesting guy, right, in the social media or, like, outreach sense. Because it's kind of similar to Eminem. I remember hearing Eminem talk about this, right, once, where he was saying the cards were all stacked against him, right? He was saying, this is not word for word, the quote, but the gist is there, right? He said the cards were all stacked against him because he was a white rapper coming up at a time where there were no decent white rappers. Like, Vanilla Ice had ruined the game for white rappers. And so nobody would book him. Nobody wanted to be seen with him or doing collabs with him because he was a white rapper. And then he managed to turn that all around and he ended up selling more and becoming huge because he's a white rapper. Because he could tap into popular culture in a way that, you know, inarguably a lot of African-American rappers would struggle to. Because here you've got this guy who must have come up against some fairly horrendous classism in his life. You know, he's from Ilford, East London. He speaks a particular way. You know, he's hanging out in tracksuits, he says, like in these interviews, in his YouTube videos. He goes to LSE. He goes on to work in the city, which is just dominated by privately educated kind of Oxbridge people with a certain colour tie on. And it, like, he must have really come up against some serious classism in his life. It probably wasn't taken seriously, you know, because of the way that he speaks and the way that he carries himself. And yet now he's completely turned those tables around because now he's more interesting to listen to as an economist because of that background and because of the way that he speaks, you know? Like, I found myself taking in what he had to say about wealth, about inequality, about interest rates, about foreign exchange rates, like in a way that, honestly, I would have just scrolled past if it had been just another explainer by a middle-class, middle-aged guy called Martin, you know? If it had just been one of his colleagues or one of the other kids that he went to university with at LSE that spoke a certain way, that wore a suit and now has a bit of grey hair, I probably would have just scrolled straight by it. And I really love the fact that he's managed to turn those cards around and now he's more engaging and probably more successful as a result of that background. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that quickly. Go and check out his videos, guys. And tell him that I sent you. As well. His name is Gary's Economics, or Gary Stevenson. I mean, it's quite funny, really. Like, I was scanning through, you know, TikTok, the way that you do, the For You page, and then I went onto to YouTube. I was looking at, like, economic stuff, and his thing came up. And I thought I had found, like, a diamond in the rough, you know? I thought I'd happened across this small or modest account, you know, maybe about the same size as mine, you know, and he's just started out, he's just doing these economics videos. I thought I had discovered him, guys. Like, oh, this guy seems pretty interesting, maybe I'll get him on the pod. And then once I watched one of his like videos and then the algorithm adjusted, it was like, oh, here he is on James O'Brien. I'm like, all right, okay, so he's very much established. He's got a book out. Fine. You know, he probably won't be that interested in coming on, I guess. You know, it feels like finding an amazing new band that you're really into, you know, and then you try telling your mates about it and they're like, oh my God, like, have you only just found out about Fall Out Boy? Really? Like, you feel robbed, don't you? Like, a minute before, you felt like you had, like, you were some sort of hipstery talent scout, you know? Now you feel like you're the last person to have ever found out about this cool thing. That is like the opposite of a talent scout hipster. That's like, it's like your dad sharing a meme with you a year after it first surfaced for everybody else.
Well, I think this is really funny, Adrian. Like,
yeah, it's the ice bucket challenge, Dad. It's like 10 years old. Jesus Christ. I don't know how memes end up in my dad's inbox with such a delay, you know? Like, has this just landed in your inbox, has it? How long was your phone trying to download that? Who are you with? Like 3G, Hutchison 3G, or Vodafone, or EE? Whoever your network is, they suck. You need to move. Come over to Vodafone, where the message is actually resolved quickly. You've had some like horrible 2005 meme waiting to... Who sent you that? Whoever it is, they're waiting for your response now. Like, have you had any news notifications for the last 7 years? Do you know there was a pandemic? Do you know? Nobody told you, really? You're just up and walking around like, oh, I don't know why these face masks have all got so popular. Must be a fad. Must be a new thing. I can't wait to read the memes about it in 5 years. You old bastard. Like, my dad worked in media for about 35 years, I think. Like, he jumped out a little bit of media and then went into PR, but that's still sort of media, isn't it? He worked in media for about 35 years, and he can produce, he can edit. He used to produce Johnny Walker on Radio 2. He's like an old BBC bod. He can run a mixing desk. He could do... You would think he would have picked up some skills with technology over 35 years. He's hopeless with technology. He's the worst person I know with technology. He's the only guy I know who still SMSs people. It's like, don't forget to send me a text when you get home. Oh my God. Texts. Really? Why don't I fax you? Why don't I steal that pterodactyl off the Flintstones and send you a carrier pigeon message, you old bastard? Like, he's such a weird guy, my dad. So he's like been immersed in technology and editing and recording and all of this stuff his entire working life, and yet he can't work like the Skype. Like, we'll Skype on the weekend and something will go wrong and he'll just be like, well, I mean, it was working fine yesterday and I just don't, what am I supposed to do? An alert came up and I clicked OK. Why did you click OK? Well, I just wanted to get rid of it. Well, what did it say? Well, I don't know. He's the cliche archetypal granddad who cannot work technology. Like I dread the day that, like, so sometimes you get notifications through from Patreon going like, you have a new Patreon. Sometimes if it comes through, new £10 Patreon, and then I know that they've got access to Skype, so they can Skype me, I'm like, please don't let it be my dad. Please don't let it be my dad. Like, please, I'd rather it was Darren Grimes signing up for my Patreon to abuse me than have to spend more time troubleshooting and debugging my dad's Skype calls. Like, I've considered buying him a smartphone, right, just to get him onto FaceTime, you know, or like WhatsApp video calls. Because you would think, you know, if somebody is that bad with technology, the last thing you want to do is saddle them with like old school, you know, quite clunky Microsoft Skype-y stuff. There's loads of updates to it. You know, just get him something simple and easy and bubbly and slick. You know, get him an iPhone, then it's FaceTime or WhatsApp. Easy, right? Some of you might be thinking that. However, dear listeners, he's also quite impressionable, I think, my dad. And I think he is a prime candidate for, like, I'd get him a smartphone. And it would actually go quite well. Like, it'd be really easy to talk to him on the weekend. And that would last for about 2, maybe 3 weeks before by the end of the third week, he would have been on like Facebook groups learning about Flat Earth and chemtrails. He would be absolutely 100% a candidate to be fully radicalized. You know? He's like, he is that guy. You know, I'll end up like SMSing him one Sunday. Or like WhatsApp on his new phone. I'll be like, yeah, are we like FaceTiming or something? Because like, you know, I'm here, but it looks like you're offline or like you haven't called me or whatever. Be like, oh yeah, no, I forgot to mention. Yeah, sorry. I'm actually going to a protest today. Oh, are you? You go to protests now, do you, Dad? Yeah, yeah. Well, like, have you not heard? Yeah, the 5G controlled trans kids are trying to rig the next election. I can't let it happen, mate. No, not in old Blighty. Anyway, should we try and do some news? We'll do a little bit of news here. I noticed something earlier on today. I don't know if you saw this. Richard Tice managed to get an apology out of the BBC for referring to Reform as far right. Guys. The BBC referred to Reform UK, political party who are currently eating into the Conservatives' lead. It's not a lead, is it? The Labour in the lead. They're eating into the Conservatives' polling, right? And the BBC described them as far right. And now they've had to apologise to Richard Tice, which I think is interesting. That the BBC called them far right, and now they've had to apologise. Richard Tice took exception to being called far right, or indeed of Reform being called far right. This is Reform of I want my country back fame. This is Reform UK of let's give a job to the Islamophobic guy fame. Not far right, though. Not far right. Guys, this is Reform UK that was originally the Brexit Party. And when it was set up as the Brexit Party, it was done so by Catherine Blakelock. Name that sort of disappeared into the ether now, hasn't it? It was set up by Catherine Blakelock, who had to resign 8 months after formation for a history of anti-Muslim messages. But not far-right, guys. Let's get that straight, shall we, dear listeners? Totally not far-right. They want their country back. And London's been taken over by Islamists, and a resignation for Islamophobia, and hiring Islamophobes, and, you know, let's all anger-wank in a circle of Union Jacks, and ship off the foreigners to Rwanda, and Farage's rumoured sing-along sing-song of gas them all while he was at school, according to one of his school friends. But let's definitely not call them far-right, guys. It hurts their feelings. Because, I mean, forget who any of their stuff might upset, right? Forget all of the stuff that they've said that might irk the sensibilities of minorities or, you know, people looking for a fairer shake. Socioeconomically, forget about all of that. These pricks don't like the word far bolted on there. Farage doesn't mind using the word chinky. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you recall. But far, the word far, chinky's fine, but far is a step too removed. Lee Anderson also got himself an apology today. Did you know that, you guys? So Tice got one out of the Beeb for calling his party far right. But Lee Anderson managed to get Best for Britain, who are, I believe, a pro-EU, Remainy progressive think tank, I want to say. He managed to get them to apologise to him. They put this out on Twitter today. It says, we recently stated that Lee Anderson, MP, was thrown out of the Labour Party for getting the equivalent of an ASPO. We deleted that post when Mr. Anderson contacted us, and Mr. Anderson has asked us to clarify some further detail, which we are now happy to do. That was Best for Britain. Effectively correcting the record about something that they had said about Lee Anderson. So yeah, Reform are not far right, and Lee Anderson was not thrown out of the Labour Party for getting a community protection notice. He was suspended pending an investigation, but then he chose to resign and go and join the Tories because he had been, quote, so disillusioned under Corbyn's leadership. That's what he said. So, I mean, look, I suppose it's a good thing, you know, if things weren't clear before, that we know now that he wasn't sacked. He wasn't just fully sacked, but he left pending an investigation. And then he appealed the CPN notice thing, and then that was withdrawn. I guess it's good that we know that now. And I guess it's good that Tice has corrected the record that they are not far right, dear listeners. They don't like that. They're right, but they don't like that word far. Okay? They've corrected the record on both of these things. They've apologised. Best for Britain and the BBC, they've both apologised. But like, is this reform? Is this their campaign strategy now? You know, like, let's just get column inches and retweets about correcting the record, about people who were a bit mean to us. You know? Get people to go like, yeah, well, okay, look, technically you weren't tossed out of Labour. You were being investigated and you resigned, right? Like, is this their plan? Is this Reform's plan to fix Britain's challenges? Is it? They're going to fix the country one reputational base level, not even libel hit at a time. That's how they're going to fix it. It's like, hey, Rich, Lee. Yeah, I don't know if you know, but like, people are nosediving into extreme poverty at the moment. Could you help? Would you pipe down? I'm trying to fix a basic legal technicality over here. Priority, son. I mean, who knew that Leanderthal was such a stickler for detail? not me. You know, like, isn't this the same guy that, like, when he was pulled up on whether Islamists, like, hardcore Muslim fundamentalists on a lunch break from defending Sharia law and maybe a few honour killings, like, Islamists, right? When he was asked that, when he was challenged on it, they were like, do you actually think Islamists have taken over London? He's like, yes. Really? Yes, yes. Never back down. Never apologise. It's a sign of weakness. That's what he said. I was taught to never back down. Never apologise. Never give an inch. It was like, if it wasn't that, it was like definitely words to that effect. I never back down. Never apologise. It's a sign of weakness. Never back down. All right, okay. Well, don't look now, but these guys over here got a line from your Wikipedia wrong. Oh, well, I demand an apology post-haste. You know, it's like he says something careless and inaccurate. It's like, I will never back down. Someone else says something a little bit careless, a little bit inaccurate. I demand an apology. How dare you? What is this? Who even are you? Just some basic editorial standards is all I ask for. In other Reform-related news, Farage was on Twitter today, clutching his pearls about a train station sign that had an Islamic verse up on it. I saw this on Darren Grimes's Twitter earlier as well. I guess, like, they've all got their story for the day, haven't they? It goes around their WhatsApp groups. They all put their content out or their little snarky tweets. And this was their culture war ridiculous story for today, was that there's a train sign, you know, an information sign up there, and King's Cross Station put an Islamic verse up on this sign. And the King's Cross spokesman, I don't know if you saw this story today, but it said, King's Cross Station is made up of a diverse and multicultural workforce, and at times of religious significance, messages such as these, Islamic ones, when we're in Ramadan, are displayed to celebrate the station's diversity and inclusivity. And it continues, throughout the year, messaging at the station also celebrates festivals from other religions, including Easter, Christmas, Passover, and Diwali, to mark the beliefs of our colleagues and passengers. So, that seems fair enough, right? You know, we're in Ramadan. Don't know if you guys knew that. There's going to be Muslims working in the station, shopping in the shops, commuters. And here's the idea, is that you show that you're welcoming and inclusive and multicultural. And so you put a cheeky verse up there on the information screen that comes from something to do with Islam and Ramadan or something. I don't know. But obviously, this is a huge problem. This is devastating to the alt-right lot. Because in comes GB News, like, outrage was sparked this morning as an Islamic verse emerged on a train notice board. People want train information, not this Islamic hoopla. Oh my goodness. And you know, like a duck to water, Nigel Farage jumps on it. And he says this, right, on Twitter. He shares the GB News article and he says, "Aren't we supposed to be a Christian country?" Which is, I mean, it's the great paradox, really, isn't it, with people like Farage? You know, I mean, like, maybe take a minute away from observing Islamic verses and worrying about those. And could you just remind me what the Bible ones say about helping those in need, Nigel? What do they say in the Bible verses about desperate refugees and helping people who need your help? What would Jesus do, Nigel, if a bunch of refugees washed up like biblical characters begging for help? You know? Do you think Jesus would be like, "Oh, these lot, again, like they always want something for nothing, don't they?" Like, I hope desperate refugees shout that next time at him when he's like trying to turn them away in his dinghy, you know, out there patrolling the English Channel. They're like, "I'm poor, I'm desperate, I need some help, I need refuge. Please, could you help me?" No room at the inn, I'm afraid. "I thought you were supposed to be a Christian country, Nigel." I hope they say that to him. I mean, does anybody seriously think Nigel Farage or like Richard Tice go to church? Do they? Does anyone believe that Nigel Farage goes to church and prays to God? Because I do not. That is a step too far for me. I mean, they could try. Like, I think if they tried going to church, I think they'd be like the kid in The Omen, you know? Like, if they even got in 100-meter radius of holy ground, I think they'd start, like, foaming at the mouth and wheezing and get all, like, feverish and stuff. Push them through the door of the church. They burst into flames. I mean, look, I'm not in any position to criticize. I'm not a religious guy. I'm far from it. Cover your ears, Tice. It'll only upset you. I am far from religious. But, you know, then I'm not on Twitter, you know, saying that this is a Christian country, am I? It's patently, academically not, guys. Aren't we supposed to be a Christian country? No, we're not. They did a census. You might want to go and refresh your memory. Less than 50%, substantially less than 50% now, identify as even religious, let alone Christian. In fact, here's a line that will really upset you, Nige. If you are Christian, if you think this is a Christian country and you are a Christian, you probably have more in common with the Muslim guys coming across on the small boats that you claim to hate than with the majority of the country that you claim to love, but who most of whom don't actually believe in God. You got more in common with those guys. You should go and hang out. See if you get on. I mean, this is why people like that endlessly bang on about the silent majority, isn't it? It's cheers, by the way. It's like, you know, most people are not religious. Most people are not identifiably Christians. But people like Farage like to pretend that this is a Christian country, right? They have this fantasy idea that most people out there agree with them and are cheering them on. Just like they like to think that most people are silently, secretly still banging the drum for the great successes of Brexit, when in actual fact, academically, mathematically, politically, statistically, everybody wants to rejoin the EU. But there's a silent majority of people out there that are right behind us. I'm sure of it. I mean, for all their talk, like people like Farage, Tice, Darren Grimes, all of the usual names that we always rant and ridicule on this show and in the paper reviews, for all their talk of saying, like, oh, we got to get back to the, you know, this old mythical, like, Blighty. We got to get back to when things still made sense. A bit of common sense. Got to get back to the old Blighty. Benny Hill, Union Jacks. We got to get back to the good old days of Great Britain. For all of that stuff, I'm like, yes. Yes, we do, guys. I want to take us back to a time where when you talk to a person like this, you go, who told you this was going to be a good idea? And they go like, oh, all of my imaginary friends did. Then you could rightly go like, okay, all right. Come on, get your slippers and your dressing gown on. Let's get you back to your ward, Darren. guys. That's it. That's all I've got time for tonight. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in. If you are in a position to drop me a little tip on YouTube, you can go to the little three dots, drop a little tip in the tip cup with the super thanks thing. And if you're feeling particularly plush or flushed, whatever that word is, do consider jumping on the Patreon or the YouTube community. I'll be back on Friday night with a guested live show, 7:30, always on Friday nights. And I'll see you all then. Take care of yourselves. Keep it booge. Stay binfluencer. And I am out this motherfucker.